Baker Mayfield, undraftable, off my board.
The Cleveland Browns select Baker Mayfield.
What a beautiful throw by the Baker!
Victor! Hasta la vista, baby! Touchdown!
All right, welcome in to your game day edition crossover between the OBR Film Breakdown on the Blue Wire Podcast Network with Jake Burns, myself, and also on the Blue Wire Podcast Network, All Eyes on Cleveland with Brad Ward. Brad, how are you, man?
Excellent, sir. Glad to be speaking to you about this game. Short week, lots of stuff going on, and three quick days here. Quick turnaround. It's overwhelming, to say the least.
What a brutal setup here. I mean, like, I guess it's good in one sense because we can stop talking about the Cardinals game, which was an absolute minefield of a game. And like, I finally finished the scouting notes and all 22 and data collection stuff and just posted it tonight. And I'm just like, I'm glad to be done with it. You know, just like, I'm sure they're washing it out the same way, but then you get worse news. It gets weirder. You're missing now on the IR, who I would consider your second best defensive player this year, JOK. You get Kareem Hunt put on the IR. You get Baker Mayfield telling us he's going to play essentially on Tuesday afternoon. And then all of a sudden Wednesday afternoon. No, what day is it, Brad? It's okay. He said Tuesday play Wednesday, which is today when we're recording this. It comes out in the morning that he can't play. He's not going to play. I don't know what the future holds for him. I don't know if they'll shut him down, but there sounds like they're at least going to give it a go with trying to get the inflammation down and trying to settle that thing in a little bit. But I don't know, Brad. I don't know. What's your immediate reaction to Mayfield out this week, and where do you think it goes in the future?
I thought it was insane of him to say, I mean, on Tuesday when he was saying that, I'm thinking that it was insane of him to try to turn around and play on Thursday. I'm thinking this is why you have your $6 million backup quarterback for the situation just like this. Like, I just felt like it was too much too soon, you know what I mean? And I thought that they should go to Keenum, so I was not shocked at all to hear that today. It felt like that Stefanski or somebody, the adult in the room, would step in and say, wait a minute here, you know what I mean? Let's play the healthy guy this week. You know, this week it's just too close to when he just got hurt. You know what I mean? He was just wearing a sling 2 days ago, and then he's talking about how it's fully torn, and you know it's got to be swollen, it's got to be sore. There's no way that I get it. To me, it just makes sense to let him rest, let it tighten up a little bit, and maybe try to play on Halloween or whatever against the Steelers.
Yeah, it's just weird. You're right. The Baker stuff is smart. They should not be playing him. The bullheaded nature of Mayfield was strange Tuesday, but whatever. Move past it. I just thought he was really standoffish about it, and
he was
typical fashion there. But like, he was. You know, Wednesday comes out, like, you're right, you're spot on. This is why you pay Case Keenum. You don't pay him that money to just sit on the bench. You paid him because in the case you needed a guy to start for a day or a week or two, you could start him and not feel like your world is collapsing. So Case is capable. It's a very, very accurate statement there. But the thing that's going on here is that the people that support Baker are going to use this game in whatever narrative way they want. The people that think Baker's not playing well and they're trying to prove a point are going to use it there. This is a lose-lose situation. Like, it doesn't matter if Case plays out of this world. I mean, that's great. Obviously, the Browns could win if he does that. That's cool. Like, that's awesome. But there's just going to be, like, from this small little spectrum that is social media, it's going to be nauseating because there will be, like Rich Eisen said, I thought he articulated it pretty well today, Brad. Like, there's just going to be a whole bunch of using this game as evidence one way or the other, right? Like,
no question about it.
It's going to be miserable. It's going to be miserable. So the thing you want is just the Browns find a way to win, and you can sort it all out later. But for now, it's just going to be weird. It's weird because we've seen Baker start like 51 straight games, and I haven't seen another Browns quarterback in a substantial amount of time. So that part of it will be strange. To your bigger point, Brad, I do think they're being wise here. It was wise to sit him out. I don't know that it was wise to put him up in front of the media on Tuesday, but especially when he was in the midst of being frustrated with his game performance, frustrated with what the doctors are telling him, like all of it, right? Like, I didn't love that. But
no, it wasn't a good look for the team or him. But we move on from it. That's Baker. We know that, you know. He was clearly visibly upset and short and very curt with the media. I laughed at his answer about the fourth down execution. What do you mean? We got to execute and get the first down. Well, of course. We got to execute and get the first down. I mean, he just, you know, he was very
after the game too, you know. It's like, hey man, if you want to roll in there and quote like Biggie Smalls for 7 minutes during your interview, you maybe the people that are also doing their job trying to get answers from you, you don't go at them like that, you know.
Absolutely.
Just a thought there maybe. But okay, you know, you can keep quoting Kanye West stuff when you win and great. But like for the sake of this like situation, Baker, the right thing to do is sit him. You test it, you see where it's at going into the next week. If it continues to be a massive problem, you know, it's going to be the thing they do is they'll just shut him down. I mean, they're really experimenting as they go. They're going to see how he reacts to a bunch of different therapies, I'm sure, over the next 10 days and try to get a read on it. But to me, the way he's playing, which has been very, very up and down, more down than up, I just don't see a massive fall. So when, like, Baker's out, if it was, like, again, no offense to Baker, but if it's losing, like, peak Aaron Rodgers right now or going from Russell Wilson down to Geno Smith or some other, I can't even think of it, you know, going from, help me out here, Tom Brady to whoever the heck Tom Brady's backup is. Like, those guys are playing really well. Like, Baker's not playing very well right now, which, again, does not mean his future. He can't figure it out. He's not playing well right now, but Case is just as capable with the way Baker's played to come in and at least replicate it, if not do a little better, right?
Correct. Yeah, I 100% agree with that. And to your point about the narratives that'll come out on this, I'm to the point, Jake, where I don't care. I really just don't. I've gotten so fed up with it. I just don't really care. I'm going to listen to the people that I trust, you know, like you. I very much, you know, value your opinion on what's going on with Baker and a small group of others. And I'm going to put the rest of it out of my mind. The biggest thing this week is just to find a way to get a win this week. Yeah. They really, really need it. And so I really don't care if Case Keenum goes out and throws for 200. Wouldn't that be crazy, right? 200 yards and 2 touchdowns to Odell Beckham. Talk about narratives. But yeah,
it would melt.
Yeah, the world would melt. Yeah, and then, but yeah, I don't really care though. You know, whether they want to use it as evidence to this, that, or the other. I just want the Browns to get to 4-3 and get a little mini bye week and try to get some semblance of health back together.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events, the list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Yeah, talking about the health, it seems like maybe one of the tackles will play. Odell's fighting the AC joint in his shoulder, so he is probably going to play, even though that would break their do not practice DNP tendency, because he DNP'd the last 2 days. Now, short weeks are different, so that might not always hold true, but it seems like he's going to give it a go. But then, you know, it's this is the thing with Case in the offense, and even with Baker, too, if Baker played this week, there's no guarantee they can lean on the run. I mean, they have a great offensive line, in my opinion, and they're well-coached and they block well, but a lot of times, you know, going from 80 yards to 160 is because 24 and 27 make people miss behind the line or in space and turn those big runs into bigger runs. And that element could happen. You know, I like Dearness Johnson. I like Dimitri Felton. I like John Kelly, but they're not them. You know, they're not. So we'll see. It'll be one of the determining factors, Brad, is if Cleveland can have some semblance of run success to help ease the burden on Case Keenum and the passing guys, the collective group, the receivers, DPJ and OBJ and all of them, and the tight ends, because they need that. But I don't know if it will happen. So that is something we will obviously be keyed in on. Otherwise, Brad, defensively, relatively healthy, other than losing JOK, who I do think is a bigger deal, like gets lost in the shuffle of this weird week, is losing that guy. And he's really good, and I don't think people really know how good he is. I've considered even watching film and on Twitch alone doing that, but he's good. He plays at a different speed than everybody else, and he's covering, he's progressively gone up in snaps, you know, from the 20s to the 30s, now up to the 50-60 range. He got in the high 50s before he left with the injury last week. Like, I do hope they can find a way to replace him for a while until he gets back. If he, you know, the high ankle sprains are weird, Brad. Like, they're really tough to predict.
They are, and they linger.
Do you think they can bring a safety down a little more into the box to play alongside Anthony Walker? It seems like Malcolm Smith's questionable here. I don't know if he'll play, but I guess how much are we going to feel that impact with 28 out?
I think you're going to feel the impact a ton, to be honest, because what he does for this defense is he creates that margin of error. His speed and his ability makes up so much, you know, guys missing tackles or guys in the wrong place. He makes up for all of that with his explosion and speed and makes great plays on the run game. And you know, with him not there, that margin of error disappears a little bit. And how do you combat that? I don't know. You know, Ronnie Harrison really shouldn't be in coverage anymore, in my opinion. So maybe you bring him down in the box and let him play down there. Not that he's been much better down there, but he at least is a speedier guy down there, right? Maybe to try to combat that a little bit.
Yeah, you could. Ronnie's not being consistent enough in deep coverage. I certainly think he's more comfortable playing forward into curl flat, into hook zones, than he is playing in deep quarters or deep thirds. Like, there's no doubt. But then I also think John Johnson, who had linebacker experience with the Rams last year, is also more comfortable doing that. Not that he's – I think John is way more capable or slash more comfortable playing deep than Ronnie is, but I just think John Johnson's an energy guy, and he really likes playing closer to the line of scrimmage for portions of the game. And right now the Browns are doing him up like a 95.5%. He's deep all the time. I think it was like 311 snaps to only 35 in the box, and he's always been a 50-50 guy. So, like, he is never playing close to the line of scrimmage. He's just kind of out there doing cardio a lot of times. And, like, he needs to be impacting things closer to the line of scrimmage. That's why you signed him. You didn't sign him to plug him deep and just say, go out there, man. Like, that player can be found in different places. I think the versatility of John is being overlooked and not used. This is one of my few gripes. You know, I don't really dig into coaches' issues until later in the season, but right now, like, the versatility he has is being lost in the shuffle, and they're lacking some creativity with him. So I don't know. Could they bring him down? Sure. The thing that gets weird, Brad, is like Grant Delpit played 9 snaps. That's it. He played 9 dime snaps. Now he's had coverage issues from the 2 weeks prior. But I mean, it's like, is there trust there with him? I'm not sure, man. It's a little concerning, because I liked how he started out.
Yeah, me too. And, you know, you answered my next question. Honestly, I'm glad you said that about John Johnson, because I was going to say, how do we get this guy who is such a good football player that seems like he's not making any impact on the game? And you answered the question for me right there. And, you know, that's been something that's just really been bothering me. And I'm glad that you said that. You know, that makes a ton of sense. You know, you can find a lot of guys to probably do what he's doing right now, right?
Sure.
And he's special, and he's not, you're not using him in a special way, right?
The thing that is, like, unique about him is that he can do both. Most of the times you try to pigeonhole certain players to do those things. He can do both. So I don't know. I mean, I'm not. I would like to hear reasoning for it. I don't think he's as good at. When I broke down his tape, like I thought he was best playing near the line of scrimmage, and you could also sprinkle him in deep coverage. He's not like a freak athlete. He's a very average safety athlete. So where he's struggled career wise is when he's been left on islands in deep coverage. So I don't know, man. I would try to use him differently. That's just me based on what I've seen other people do with him and do well. So they just need to play better in the back half. Got to play better in the back half. Yep. Got to play better. I think that the two defensive ends in the Arizona game between Clowney and Myles Garrett went 9 pressures deep between the two of them. They played pretty well. But otherwise, got to play better. Got to play better all around. They're going to need the defense. The line on this game, Brad, is 41 over-under. So I should have said over-under first there. So that's 41. So that means they think it's going to be low scoring, some form or fashion. Do you think it gets to 23-20? I have a hard time seeing. I just think if the Browns are going to win, it's going to be something like 17-14, right? Like something low scoring. And they're only at -2. You know, Cleveland's only laying 2 points here. So I don't know. The only thing I feel good about is betting the under, because I could just see this with the rain in the forecast up in Cleveland. I could see it being a real slot fest.
Yeah, it you know, they have to go in, and Stefanski, it's kind of one of my keys, but you can't be afraid to muck this thing up and just get out of there with kind of an ugly win.
It's a back against the wall game. Like they cannot go to 3-4 going with Pittsburgh and Cincy coming up. They can't
not do it
if they want to go where we think they want to go. Now, if they lose, to me, Brad, very easy to see why they lost. Like, I'm not going to be mad if they lose because they're just missing so much. But if we think they have a chance of turning this thing around, Denver's 3-0 against terrible teams, 0-3 against anybody real, and you have to win. But Denver's also 3-3 back against the wall feeling too. So we'll see who comes out and plays well here with an opportunity in front of them. But like, to me, it says if Cleveland wants to maybe hold on, weather the storm with injuries, this is the type of game you got to figure out a way to win. Throw some trick plays at them, do some unique things, get some points on the board that maybe otherwise wouldn't have been found through normal offensive structure. So I guess that's my first key as we talk about what our keys are. Come up with ways to get points on the board that are outside of your norm, right? Do something different, up huddle, you know, up tempo, no huddle, something, anything, flea flicker, or double reverse pass. I don't care, man. Your back's against the wall here. Your team is feeling the weight of the world. They need to feel less pressure. They need something to release them, have them. They need to have fun, man. They need to have fun. And I think spark. Something like that could be fun for them. What do you got as your we'll go through our three and wrap this sucker up.
Yeah, I mean, I'll piggyback off of that one because it's kind of similar in that, you know, make the game easy for Case. As easy as possible, right? You know, dumb it down. It doesn't have to be crazy, you know, but trick plays, absolutely. Stuff that can spark your offense. And don't – I just felt like last week – I know the missing tackles, and so it's kind of like it's a conundrum, right? But I just felt like they really got away from, like, everybody on social media is like, well, they're not. I'm like, run the ball more, and they're like, well, they can't run the ball. They have like 5 yards. I'm like, he's averaging 5 yards a carry. Kareem Hunt is run the ball more. Now I know that they're probably protecting him physically somewhat. It may have been why they weren't running the ball more, but don't forget who you are too. I mean, you know, you are with Case Keenum out there, you're going to have to run the ball, and sometimes you're not going to get a lot of yards with it, but you have to do it to set up the play action because that's where he's effective. And so try to make the game easy for him.
Agreed. Well, you got to remember too, he hasn't played with these guys. He was not getting any first team reps. So there's some cohesion issues that could be in play here, timing issues, all of it. He was, I mean, Baker takes all those reps. He does not crack away a first-team practice rep or camp rep or anything. And even Case's time in the preseason was very rarely with guys who played with the one. So there's going to be some of that. That's something you also have to monitor. And you're right, making it easy for him would be great. And that ties into getting some cheap points on the board somehow with some creativity in some form or fashion. Maybe if you're running a reverse, pitch the ball to the wide receiver. So, you know, that would be cool. They missed that opportunity the other day. So what's number two for you, Brad?
All right. So this is, you know, Teddy Bridgewater, right? Last week. Now, he's technically questionable. It sounds like he's going to play, though, right? From all accounts,
seems like it. He's got the foot issue. I've heard he's got a little quad thing going on. But, you know, I think based on his recent data, you want him to play. He's not playing very well.
You do, and that was my point. You know, you have to – the one thing this defense has been able to count on is their front four, right? And you just have to continue to disrupt Teddy. You know, I watched I always find it very interesting to dive into other teams' film breakdowns and stuff that other guys do that I never watch except for the 1 week a year that the Browns play him, right? Mm-hmm. And I watched the Broncos film breakdown, the guy I don't know who he is, but – He was very good, but Teddy's not very good right now. He's just not. They said that was his worst game as a Bronco against the Raiders. He's inaccurate. He fumbled the ball the one time he tried to run. He's missed a number of wide open wide receivers, but especially when he does not have a clean pocket, he doesn't handle it very well. Right, yeah. His footwork gets weird. He gets kind of weird, and he becomes inaccurate, and he'll throw you the ball. So disrupt Teddy, and I think you got to have 4+ tacks, turnover sacks, right?
Yep, I agree. And this is a nice run they have now of non-mobile quarterbacks. Had a fill of those until you meet the penultimate guy here in a couple weeks. But for a while here, between what do you go? You go, and Joe Burrow's got some mobility, but he doesn't rely on it. So you tie in Ben, you go Teddy, Ben, who am I forgetting? Oh, then Joe Burrow. Then you got the Lions or the Patriots, one of those two in some order. I think it goes Patriots, then Lions, but neither of those guys, Mac or Jared Goff or mobile guys. So, yeah, you can tee off a little bit more. And maybe that means they drop coverage because they feel like they can win up front a little bit more. So, good point. They got to make Teddy uncomfortable as best they can while also marrying coverage. And for the most part, when teams have had non-mobile cues, they've been pretty good. So that's a good one. What's your last one?
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
My last one is really a focus on Sutton, right? Cortland Sutton. I think that he is one of their best weapons. I think that he's a problem. He's an elite wide receiver for them. Mm-hmm. Tim Patrick does some things for them, but he is not of the caliber of player that Sutton is. So do what you have to do to take him away. Make somebody else beat you on the defensive side of the ball. I know the Browns don't do that a lot, right? They're very kind of, this is what we are. This is the zone that we run. They don't really double a lot of people and stuff like that. I kind of wish they would do some more creative stuff like that. But this is one where I would make sure that you have your attention focused on him and Noah Fant, and maybe make somebody else beat you.
For sure. He's fun. He gave them some fits in that 2019 game. I think he gave Denzel some trouble, so I'll be interested to see how they match up and go about him. He's the type of receiver that Denzel typically doesn't fare all too well with. I can't remember if it was Denzel or Greedy, but I know he caught a touchdown when the Browns visited Denver in 2019, that game they lost. So, yeah, they're missing Jerry Jeudy still. They lost KJ Hamler for the year. So I'm with you. You got to shut down the weapons. The weapons aren't that great for the most part. If you can find ways to keep Cortland Sutton in front of you. Noah Fant a little bit, but the Browns have covered tight ends pretty well for the most part this year. So we'll see. I don't know what their plan will be. The thing I'm keying in on is sort of if they're going to find ways, like I think the last two opponents have, which is scheming up ways to confuse Browns coverage, because that's something that I think OCs have done a really good job of is they have figured out how the Browns coach certain things, where their eyes go based on looks and based on releases, and they're like using that against Cleveland. So we'll see if they uptick in any different direction. Maybe they move players around, or maybe they switch coverage up. They go a little less quarters in cover three and get some more cover one, some cover six, some different things that confuse the quarterback because they have to.
Yeah, let me. Can I ask you about that real quick? So, you know, I watch some of that stuff for the defense. It seems like the same concept that's been used to beat them multiple times. They're really just kind of evacuating a zone, making it look like there's something there. The guys are biting, and then they're running somebody into that evacuated area, right? I mean, that's pretty simple. Like, they're zone beaters, right? They're zone beaters. They're running stuff that confuses those guys. And multiple times, Ronnie is bit and Delpit bit on the what looked like, thought there was nothing behind him and bit on the wrong route. And they're responsible for that deep third or fourth of the field. And even like Troy Hill, you know, last week, everybody was all over him on that. But that wasn't even really his fault, really, that touchdown.
I agree. It's been poor. They have been poor zone eyes. I think they've been really getting undisciplined and biting on things. The bait that offensive coordinators are throwing at them, they're biting on it. So you're right. Can you stay disciplined? Can you keep your honesty in your back, you know, your back quarter or your back half or your back third? And if you don't, teams have found ways to pick on it. Now you have to get more pressure. You know, you would like to generate a bit more pressure. Yes. And some of the throws Kyler made kind of fading out of the pocket are not throws you'll see over the coming weeks here. There's not that arm talent Kyler has is pretty special, but you cannot a defense that's structured the way it is here, Brad, that is built on eliminating explosive plays, funneling things in front of you, tackling, rally tackling, all, you cannot give up coverage busts. It's a flat out problem. I'm not talking about somebody beating a guy down the corner of the sideline on the fade or whatever. I'm talking about like wide open players, busted coverages where people clearly aren't either knowing their assignment or they're biting on something they shouldn't be. So yeah, that's the thing that can happen. If you do and you let Denver score an easy touchdown or a huge chunk play that creates a field goal, it's going to be a long night. That's a game. That's the type of thing that you could lose here, because the Browns offense is going to be really trying to figure out how the heck are we putting points on the board. So I don't know. I think I feel pretty comfortable with Denver 20 to 13. I think they figure out some ways to score. I just really don't feel good about it. I think it's got a chance to be a hostile environment in the wrong way, because people are upset right now with how things are going this year. They haven't even healed from Sunday. Most of them will be back in the stadium Thursday, and it has a chance to be a real awkward setup, and I just don't feel good about it. You can come back and yell at me if you want. It's not that I don't pull for the Browns. I'm just saying I don't feel good about this game. So I think something like 20-13, Denver finds a way to get it done.
Yeah, I mean, I probably was going to pick the Browns. I have a hard time not picking the Browns, to be honest with you. I don't know why. It's just something I do. But I would just flip the score around. I would say like 21-13, 20-13, yeah. I think would probably get it done for the Browns. I think they'll have to score 20 points to probably win the game.
Creating a few turnovers would be
17,
great.
17 maybe gets it done, right?
Yeah.
I think, you know, last thing I'll say here, Jake, and I know we're running a little long, but you know, you made the comments about the broken connections in the back end of their zones, right? Quarters, and the key probably should have been, instead of Sutton, it probably should have been make them earn it, right? Like, don't give up the big play. If this offense is going to score any points, just make them earn it. Make them work the ball down the field. Make Teddy Bridgewater matriculate the ball down the field, make good decisions, and score points that are earned on a long drive, not cheap ones.
Yeah, if that's who you are, then stay true to it. I mean, you just, if you're, you know, I can handle either way. You know, I can handle Baltimore plays a ton of cover one, cover zero, and they come after you, and you're going to get burned on some of those sometimes. That's fine.
Yes.
You got your style. The Browns have their style. Some people hate it. They absolutely loathe the style of, you know, death by a thousand cuts and making you go 13, 14 plays. But I understand it. I'm fine with it. It just, you cannot give up explosives then. You have no excuse to give up those types of 70, 40, 50, 30-yard throws. You can't allow it. That's what your defense is designed to stop. So stop them, or don't do it that way. Find a new way to do it. That's my thing. So, hopefully they can rise to the occasion, and this whole conversation about the players taking blame and the coaches taking blame, I don't care, man. Figure it out. It's kind of the same way I feel about orange pants. They asked today, do you guys want orange pants? I don't care if you wear pajama pants, pink pants, baseball pants. Win the game, man.
Just cover like, read, somebody.
First of all, read the room, Browns Twitter. Like, clearly. Yeah. Come on. Like, people are frustrated with it so far. So don't – whatever. Yeah. Anyway, that's where I'm at. I think there's a chance they could win this game. I'm just sort of looking at it from a neutral standpoint, and I see a lot of issues that could rise up for the Browns. I mean, obvious issues. Your backup quarterback starting. Not many teams win – just generally with backup quarterbacks, let alone dealing with tackle issues, and your top two elite running backs are out. Like, there's just a lot stacked against the Browns. If they win this game, that'll tell you about where they're at from a leadership standpoint. And it would be a notch in Kevin Stefanski's belt, because it is going to be a challenge, and the weather will be a challenge. All of it will. So should be fun. 8:20. It'll be on Amazon. I think Amazon does these Thursday night games. NBC does them, or no, NBC NFL Network. They'll be all over. Be on Twitch. And- yeah. Yeah,
they, we'll do they pull Twitch, it off Fox main... now? They pulled off Fox and put it maybe. On Amazon?
I'm not sure. I know Amazon's heavily involved. Like, our Twitch show pregame and postgame, they're going to put on their main feed as a means to, like, on their homepage, because they're trying to broadcast what people are doing for NFL coverage. So we're excited about that. We're on at 7. So that's the OBR awesome. Browns Twitch, you can hop on and watch. I'm sure it'll be pretty packed, because it'll be on the front of the main Twitch website. So check that out. But yeah, man, I'm sure you and I will both break it down in some form or fashion after this thing. We'll hope for the best. And I would say you don't get many primetime games in a calendar year. So, you know, cross your fingers that it goes well and try to have some fun, right?
Yeah, man. The crowd show up under the lights, be loud. Who cares if you win ugly? Let's just get a win. Get to 4-3. Just find a way to do it. Stefanski's a smart guy. I'm sure he'll have some things up his sleeve. He'll scheme some stuff up and see what we can do. And you know, their back's against the wall, like you said, but the Broncos aren't great either, so they might be able to find a way to win. We'll see.
And not the worst game to have your back up against the wall for. So a reeling Broncos team who's got a lot of inner turmoil going on down there, too, from people I talk to. So a lot of people looking at who the next coach is going to be for them. So take that for what it's worth. It's a great chance to take advantage of a team that is ready to tank. They're ready to be bad. So we'll see if Cleveland can rise up. For Brad Ward on All Eyes on Cleveland, for Jake Burns at the OBR Film Breakdown, we appreciate you guys joining us. And Brad, what do we sign off with? Go Browns.